Hey everyone, and welcome to Hero's Journey Physio Fitness. Our mission is guiding people to reclaim their health and become self-reliant. I'm your host, Dr. Cameron Hoag, and joining me is my co-host, Anibal Rios.
Vamos a comenzar en tres, dos, uno.
That was good, man.
I almost forgot how to count in Spanish.
You only spent, 2 months in Mexico. I thought you almost forgot English. I can tell you got the Mexican stash going on, man.
And I've been
Am I allowed to say
it.
That?
You know what? It's fine by me, but I'm sure somebody out there is going to get offended.
Well, I like your mustache then.
We got to do that for all the Spanish listeners we have out there. Support you guys. All right. I didn't even want to say that. The whole Spanish thing threw me off. I'm kidding. You know the drill. You got to like and subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. And we haven't said this in a while, but you have to share it with someone next to you. We haven't brought that up in a while.
They can be English speaking. They can be Spanish speaking.
You know what I was looking at? I was looking at our stats. So obviously right now, the U.S. is taking over. All over the U.S. And then, you know what the other two countries were?
What?
Of course. My motherland, Mexico.
Yes.
They're always supporting us. And then Canada.
Oh, Canada. So we're North and South
North
border,
America.
Baby.
Yeah, North America, all the way, baby.
They're on their hero's journey.
They're starting their hero's journey, of course. All right. So the other thing is we've talked about it in the past. We brought it up a few times, but we started our coaching program. We're really trying to help dads, ex-athletes, and anyone else too, but primarily those are our focus. We're trying to help them get strong. And really, you just got to check our DMs, reach out to us in our DMs, but check our social medias, check our Instagram, TikTok, we're on all the platforms.
Yeah, like we promised too, we are more active on social media now. So we'd love to interact, ask questions.
We do respond to all your DMs, by the way.
Just be nice, Anibal, sensitive. The mustache cannot protect him.
Yeah. If you're mean, I won't comment. Well, actually, you know what? I do comment back to the haters.
Comments. comments from the haters.
Comments from the haters. I do write them back.
And he will not be nice back, let me tell you.
I won't.
So we got an interesting topic today. Should kids lift weights? It was controversial. If you bring it up to the majority of people, they'll probably have some sort they'll have some sort of negative connotation about it. So we're here to kind of talk about this and go through exactly what that means and the research and all that kind of stuff. But there's something really important behind all of this. There's a reason why we want to talk about should kids lift weights. And one of the big reasons is childhood obesity has been on the rise and is on the rise. And, if you want your kids to grow up healthy and strong, the habits formed when they're younger is going to shape their future. And it's not to say they can't break the cycle, but we want to set our kids up for success. And, we're going to talk about this later in the episode, but there's research showing, and it kind of is intuitive, that the younger that an athlete or an individual starts lifting, pre or post puberty, the stronger they became compared to peers later on, which, makes sense, but that's in terms of strength, muscle mass, all that kind of stuff. So I think
Cam, I'm sorry, but this came to mind as you were saying this. Why is it whenever it comes to any topic related to health and fitness, people start criticizing it? It doesn't matter if you haven't been working out, if you've been eating like trash. You immediately sit there and say, I don't know if that's the right approach to take.
Hmm.
When it comes to like diets, when it comes to anything, it's like you start questioning it and you start saying, is keto better for me than carnivore? Or is CrossFit better for me than powerlifting? When really it's like, you're not doing any of it. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. So it's like, these kids, it makes sense that they should, but I still don't want my kid to, or I still wouldn't push for that and stuff. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, why are you just get them doing something active?
Yeah.
I mean, there's been so many initiatives, like the whole Play Sitsy for kids and just trying to get them more active. And a lot of times it's like, well, should they really be doing that? Should they be really playing sports at such a young age?
Yeah, no, that, those are great points. So let's outline today's episode. That way, if you're still listening to this point, you can kind of see where we're going with this. But we do want to get past all of our initial corny banter and everything. So we do want to talk about, we want to define some terms with, like, what does youth mean? Kids, what does lifting mean? Puberty, post-puberty, like all that kind of stuff. When we start talking about the research, what do they mean? Big one we want to talk about is concerns. There's definitely some of those talking about, like, stunting growth. We'll talk about some others. I definitely want to look at what the research says, because, you know, that's kind of important. You don't just, you know, don't just take my word as a physical therapist and everything. Like, we are going to link some of the articles in the show notes. Go read them yourself.
Yeah, we want to use some evidence behind it. It's not just us sitting back and...
Yeah, and there's more than...
For no reason, you know?
I mean, I would do it with you, Annabel, you know?
Sometimes you do.
So...
In our own personal time.
That's right. So... there's also more research out there, but these are just the ones that I've liked and found. So we want to look into that. And then big ones are protocols. So if you decide to lift weights or have your kids lift weights, what can you expect in terms of progression, percentages, all that kind of stuff? And then we want to finish with our recommendations, AKA how will I train my son? He's only 3 months old, but I got him squatting. I take him up and I move him up and down, and, you know, he giggles. He likes it. So kind of like what
he's doing assisted pull-ups too. I've seen it.
Yeah. He's got good grip strength. He pulled the fire out of my arm hair. Almost brought a tear to my non-shooting eye. Okay. So terms. So when we're looking at some of these articles, a lot of what they mean when they say youth is they're basically saying less than 19 years old. So that's not very specific. So they could all be 17, you know, unless you look into the nitty gritty on some of the articles, you might not know exactly how old they are, but it's definitely less than 19. A lot of them do include pre and post puberty in the criteria. So they can be as young as 5 and as old as 18, I guess. So somewhere in that range. And we will talk about the differences towards the end when we talk about protocols and our recommendations. But typically when we're saying youth or youth athletes, anyone less than 19 is kind of what you can expect. When it talks about lifting or resistance training, they are talking about weights, like physically weights, dumbbells, barbells, all that kind of stuff. They could be talking about calisthenic movements, push-ups, air squats, all that kind of stuff. And then obviously things like running, jumping, all that kind of things. So when they're saying lifting, they're actually meaning some sort of like physical exercise, not just, you know, playing on the playground and stuff like that. So
which would you say is still helpful, right, for most kids?
Oh yes,
to be active.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with technology and, you know, kids being less active. Yeah, 100%. Even just a little bit of getting outside and playing kickball is better than nothing.
Do kids still play kickball? Let us know, guys. Do kids still play kickball? I don't know. Is that a thing?
That almost made me kind of sad thinking about that. Kickball was one of our like favorite games growing up.
Remember dodgeball?
Oh, yeah. I was solid at dodgeball.
Do kids play dodgeball? Or do they just, when they go to gym class, just hook up, you know, their iPads or start playing virtual dodgeball?
What's that called? Virtual reality dodgeball? Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Anyways, continue.
We'll cut that part out. Now we'll keep it. Okay, so those are the terms. Now here's the big one. So the concerns. As a parent, you might be going, okay, I've heard that when kids lift weights, there's a chance that it can stunt their growth, that they can experience fractures, that it can damage their growth plates that are a bit basically, you know, around the joint line and all that kind of stuff. Those are some of the main ones. I'm sure there's others, like just basic injury of, you know, pulling a muscle or this or that. But those are the main
biggest
ones.
One is the growth, right? I think even I heard that when I was back in the day.
That one is the big one, is stunting the growth, which the damaging of the growth plates obviously is kind of related to that. It's just more of the defining terms. But that is the big one, typically, when you talk about that. So let's start with the injury one. This is interesting. So this is a little bit of an older article, 1993, my birth year. So, but also kids are less active now than they were. So I'm sure this article is still relevant. So this is from the American College of Sports Medicine, and they looked at the prevention of sports injury of children and adolescents. So again, when they're talking about children, adolescents, anyone less than 19, but I typically think when you think of children, you're also talking like, you know, younger, 7, 6, 7, 8, 9, somewhere in that range, adolescents being more middle school, high school. And what they found was when it comes to weight training, like literally lifting weights, there really has not been a lot of major injuries reported. And they found that not only is it safe, but it could reduce the risk of sports-related injuries by up to 50%. And I thought that was pretty high. That's like in a good way.
I mean, that kind of goes back into the other episode we did on lifting weights and how the injury rate for actual weightlifting injuries was a lot lower compared to, what was that? What was the sport? Running? Wasn't running? Did running have a higher injury, or was it
running does have a higher injury than lifting weights. I think soccer was number one when it came to all sort of athletic.
But still, like lifting weights when with proper technique was very low.
Yeah, it was one of the lowest. So even if you could reduce the risk of playing soccer, basketball, anything like that by just doing some sort of training, I mean, that actually sounds good to me. Not, you know, the risk seems very low, but the reward seems pretty high.
And so, maybe for those parents who say, well, you know what, guys, great, but I don't want my kid messing up their technique or, I don't know, messing up their sport by lifting weights. And what have we said in the past, game? It's actually going to help their sport, not hinder.
That's one. So one of, I think during that episode, what you're referring to, Annabelle, is one of my biggest regrets was that I did not prioritize or at least make training and my skill training equal 50-50, or that I even did strength training to begin with. Like it was on the back burner, never in season. I mean, you're always just playing games and practicing
drills and
drills that those were
important, you know?
Yeah. So that's one of my biggest regrets. And I would like to at least implement that with, you know, my son with, this is actually going to hinder, or this is actually not going to hinder. It's going to improve by learning these movements and all that kind of stuff. So that should debunk the injury myth. Go check out that article. We'll link it in the show notes, but could reduce the risk by 50%. Okay, here's the fun one. So the growth plates myth. I'm going to call it a myth because there's really no standing behind it. So if you are a parent and you are concerned about, you know, your son or daughter adding weight to, let's just take the barbell back squat. Okay. Let's say your son, he's 10 years old, he's 100 pounds, and you're like, should he put weight, you know, on his back? So I don't even know if there's a realistic weight for a 10-year-old, but let's just look at 100 pounds on his back and he's doing some squats. So that's 100 pounds of force going through his joints. Right? That seems pretty straightforward. You could even maybe make the assertion that there's probably some ground reactive forces, but very minimal because you're stationary. You're standing in place. Okay. So yep. 100 pounds of force going through this 10-year-old's body, multiple joints, all that kind of stuff. We do know that when you run or when you jump, you can have up to 2 to 10 times your body weight, like impulse loads, going through your joints. So running is more on the low end, 2, 3, 4 times your body weight is going through your joints, in terms of pounds of force and everything. And if you're jumping down from a box or from a tree or like the triple jump, all that kind of stuff, you could have upwards to 10 times the force going through your joints. So let's take that same 10-year-old. He's 100 pounds. If he jumps down from a tree, that could be up to 1,000 pounds of force going through his joints. So I want someone to tell me, when it comes to force going through the joints, which one's worse, 1,000 pounds or 100 pounds?
Well, for those people who maybe were on the swing set back in the day and they got to the very top and they jumped off, your legs were tingling, weren't they?
That literally just brought me back. Like I would go so high. I'm surprised that I didn't fracture anything.
And I think we all did it, right? And your legs start tingling. You're like, oh my gosh.
I actually don't know the tingling part, man. Not gonna lie. Tingling when you hit the ground, or tingling while you're swinging.
You know, when you jump off the swing and you're at the top and then you land and you kind of land kind of hard?
Oh yes, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
That generated a lot of force.
I was like, man, you're in a small seat if you're cutting off circulation to your legs. when are we tingling there? So anyway, but to Annabelle's point, you know, that's a really high distance in which you're, you know, jumping down from. So more force are going through your kid's joints with running and jumping than they are with weightlifting. Again, the same risk of injury can happen when you are running and jumping and stuff like that. So refer back to injury prevention, you know, point before on maybe strength training, maybe having a, you know, being able to squat and do some of those movements may actually prevent, you know, when you play on the playset and all that kind of stuff.
So I guess what could stunt someone's growth?
Well, I mean, there is the thing about potentially, you know, overtraining. So you are pushing the weight for someone who hasn't gone through puberty and you are kind of repetitively, you know, making them work out or whatever. But again, I would just say to that is I played outside all day growing up, every day, running, jumping, hiking, biking, all that kind of stuff. And that is an everyday, there wasn't 24 hours rest in between. Now, when we're talking about these protocols here, which we're about to talk about in a minute, those actually have like how many sessions per week, how many sets, reps, percentages of how much weight they should be doing. When we're talking about this, it's very controlled. If you don't know what you're doing and you're telling your son or daughter to go do certain things, that's when, you know, hire a professional. You know, that's why they make coaches, personal trainers. You know, you can maybe take a season to learn some of these things first. So we are talking about all these articles we're talking about is in a controlled environment, not just, you know, Billy out there going, do more squats. Squat till you puke. So
you got five more in you.
He does have five more in him.
He does.
So, you know, all the activities that kid's doing is actually a little bit more unpredictable, uncontrolled, less stress than like a controlled environment in the gym. So that's what I'd kind of have to say to that. What does the research say? This is, I really want to focus in on this because this is kind of the meat and potatoes here, because we're actually going to talk about sets and reps and how many times a week and when to advance and kind of piggybacking off that. I'll get more into my recommendations with like ages and stuff like that, what I'll do with my son. But this article, it looked at basically training in youth athletes. And they found some of these parameters to be helpful. So I kind of want to just read them off. So someone who's kids that are brand new, again, we could be talking anywhere from, let's just say 6 years old, maybe even 18. You haven't lifted weights until you're 18. If you are new, you're going to want to start low, one, maybe two sets. So we're not talking about a lot here. We're talking one to two sets. They did recommend higher reps, like 12 to 15 reps. So when the reps are that high, the weight obviously has to be low. So they're talking like 50% of a potential one rep max. So that is, we're talking low weight,
lightweight,
a lot of reps, not a lot of sets. Basically what this is doing is you're just trying to learn the movement pattern at this point. You're trying to learn how to put something on your back and squat. You're trying to learn how to do a snatch, or you're trying to learn, you know, any fill in the blank. It's very low weight, very high reps. And they even recommended one to potentially two sessions per week. So we're talking low frequency, low volume, a little bit more reps. So that was kind of the first thing they found. What do you think about that, Annabelle?
You know, it kind of makes sense, not even just for kids, but even for newer lifters, is really trying to prioritize technique and form, because we're thinking long term here.
So again, like you're saying, this is not reinventing the wheel. So just because they're kids, they're still new to it. So you would treat it just like anybody who's new to it. And I would say this is still even on the lower end, you know, one session a week, potentially one set. Like that's very low. So I would say before you would even advance to the next phase is you're up to two sets of the exercises. You are consistently hitting 15 reps. And maybe you're going from like 50% of a potential, you know, one rep max up to a 70%. So you have increased the weight some, and maybe you're working out twice a week now. The form looks good. Soreness is down. Technique looks, you know, spot on. And, you know, there's no complaints of aches or pains other than, you know, kids are going to have some aches and pains here and there. So no more than normal. Before, excuse me, you would even advance to the next phase, which we'll talk about now, is you're just going to barely increase. You're going to do, you know, you're up to two sets. You might even stay there for a while before you even attempt a third set. And you're going to just decrease the reps a little bit. So instead of being at 50, this, you know, working up to 70% of a potential one rep max, AKA lightweight, you might be going like 80 to 85% of a potential one rep max. So the weight is getting a little heavier. You know, they can't really push past that potential 12 reps. And you start at that two sessions a week and you might move to a third session during the week. So again, it's all variable. There needs to potentially be a coach involved, or you need to know what you're doing to progress your kid.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people are going to have, like, are we looking here at a year? It's like how old they are. Or are we looking more on, like, is it their ability? And I think it would be both. Wouldn't you say?
It would be both. I'd also say up to this point, you could include pre-puberty on here. You don't want to do, well, we'll talk about it here in a second too, but real strength and power will not come until your kid goes through puberty. Until testosterone starts flowing, until their balls drop, there's not going to be a lot of strength and power. It's just simply that. So I wouldn't worry about anything past these first two until post-puberty. So when pre-puberty can do these things, you can have your kid doing, you can have your six-year-old doing a few sets of 15 reps of air squats and burpees and, you know, holding a lightweight or a dowel and, you know, snatching over your head as long as the form looks good and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I would probably say to that. Pre-puberty, you don't want to go past this phase two. Post-puberty can kind of go all through these phases. So again, you're at 50 to 80% of potential one rep max. And you're, once you get up to about three sessions a week, you're at three sets, 12 reps, and you're kind of pushing the weight even more. You're up to 85%. Oh, and for those who are saying, like, well, what is 85% of one rep max? Are you having a six-year-old go for a one rep max? No. These are estimated. These are estimated. So what that would mean is you would want to be feeling the burn slash potentially failing. I hate to use that word because that usually means like form breakdown at the 8 to 12 mark. So that is going to give you a predictor that you're probably within like an 85. You just reverse engineer is essentially what's going on.
Also, calculators out there to calculate your estimated one rep max too.
Right.
Where you plug in the exercise and how many times you did it. And it's like, based on this, your estimated one rep max is X. And then you can use these as your working number.
And if you don't know how to do that, you probably shouldn't be coaching your son or daughter in this. You should probably hire a professional until you learn how to do it. That would be my two cents. So if you can't reverse engineer a one rep max, then you shouldn't be programming a one rep max. So moving on. So once they go through that, then and only then, which will be similar to adult recommendations, post puberty, you can get into like the 3 to 5 sets. You're 85% plus. So you're into the strength kind of zone, up to 3 sessions a week. This is where you could get into the 3 times 5. The 5 times 5, that kind of stuff. But this is all post puberty. You can actually start moving the weight around because your body's undergone the changes it needs to hormonally adapt to more weight. But up until this point, we're talking more light, potentially moderate weight as long as form is good. And until you go through puberty, avoid the heavy weightlifting power movements. You can still do the movements, just not with heavy weight. And then after that, you can start to actually, increase the weight. That's what they found. And that's kind of the recommendations. We will post it in the show notes. That way you can go take a look for yourself if you weren't writing that down, which we know you guys are all, you know, pen and paper, just writing down every word. So
yeah, I mean, this, I guess we've talked about it before. Most people don't start lifting until high school. You know, kind of like we said, it might be too late. And then you get into sports and then you're trying to play catch up the whole time.
Exactly. So that's one thing, you know, I wish I would have done more of this stuff growing up. I didn't actually start doing organized training until high school. And at first it was mainly just calisthenic stuff. And it wasn't until like into freshman year that we actually started lifting weights. So I was about 10 years behind the ball when it came to training. And, you know, while I was still very active, you know, all that kind of stuff, I just wish I would have developed more of those motor patterns, strength, power, and then really been able to, once you go through puberty and you're just a, you know, hormonal, you know, I don't even know what to say. Just, you have all the hormones to build muscle. I wish I would have taken
prime to build muscle.
Yeah, you're prime to build muscle.
Yeah.
So things that they found, again, risk for the youth is risk for youth lifting is incredibly low, and it can be fully controllable by proper coaching, dosing, and just ensuring that the athletes are performing the exercises correctly. And youth, they can experience similar strength gains to adults. And again, serious power and strength won't come until puberty, but you know, the younger the athlete or the individual starts lifting pre or post puberty, the stronger they'll become compared to their peers. That's kind of what that article was saying, which, you know, selfishly, I want my son to be stronger than some of his peers. You know, selfishly, I wish I would have done this so I could have been stronger than some of my peers and not playing catch up when I'm 30, knowing all this stuff now and trying to implement it. So that was article number one. Any thoughts about article number one, Annabelle?
Man, I absolutely agree. I think by the time I got to high school, I was way behind in the whole. Not only are you trying to get stronger, but you're just trying to learn the motor skills, how to properly bench, how to properly squat, how to properly power clean, and all these different lifts that you just don't know what you're doing.
Oh, for sure. So food for thought, I'm just going to say, if your child is ready for sports, he or she is probably prepared for some sort of strength training. To some degree, follow the protocol from above.
Yeah.
Okay, so this next article I thought was really good. It was by a guy named Danny Davis. Dug into the research. It was more of like a blog review with research at the end. So I just kind of picked out some quotes from it because I just thought it was really good and backed by some of the research. So this is what part of his review said. Quote, beyond setting youth athletes up for success, though strength training has a long-term effect on kids' development, inactive kids become inactive teens and then inactive adults. And since kids today are weaker when compared to kids given birth some decades ago, the earlier they become active, the better. And that really spoke to me. As we're talking about that, Annabelle, do you agree with that? Do you think that kids are, you know, weaker today than they were, and all the inactive comments?
You know, I have no idea since I don't have kids, but that is, I just want to clarify.
Yeah. That you know of.
Oh, gosh.
Keep it under wrap, man. Keep it under wrap.
Wrap it up, baby.
All right, I'll while you're getting the, I'll get the next part here while you're letting that. Okay, so Danny Davis goes on. So I thought this one was interesting, and this one hit home. Starting strength, in high school is about 10 years too late. So our interventions need to start during primary school years. There seems to be a window of opportunity early in life to develop these habits and train your systems in a way that propels you into more substantial success for the future. When they mean systems, they're talking about like your neuromuscular system, like basically your motor memory, your muscle memory, whatever you want to kind of call that, is crucial to develop early on in life. Not that you can't develop it later on, but it's just going to set everyone up for success, kind of the younger a kid starts lifting. So those are some things that I picked out because I thought those just stood out to me. Because there might be someone listening right now that goes, you know, my kids in middle school, high school, like they haven't started yet. 10 years is too late. It's like, it's never too late. But if your kid is younger, learn from this and say, well, maybe I should get them into some sort of organized training.
Well, I would say that's for all kids playing sports or even non-athletic. Not, I don't want to say non-athletic, but maybe individuals who may even not play sport, they should still live.
Yes.
Even if it's like a, because I think sometimes for parents, well, like my kid doesn't like playing sports, should they live? And we would say yes.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah, these articles are saying youth athletes and all that kind of stuff, but 100% agree. You know, we need to be fit for life, not just for athletics. So mm-hmm. your kid doesn't lift isn't in athletics, that doesn't mean they shouldn't lift. And also there's sporting, you know, when they get older, there are sporting weightlifting things like powerlifting. Annabelle and I were just at a powerlifting meet this weekend. There's CrossFit, there's, you know, marathons, triathlon. There's different things that are sporting related, though it doesn't have a ball, that, you know, your kids could potentially get into. So just because mm-hmm. they're not into throwing a football doesn't mean that they can't be into some of these sort of like weightlifting type of quote unquote sports. Kind of my thought from just those two articles was, you know, we have no problem putting our kids into gymnastics and dance and baseball and soccer, you know, but learning calisthenic movements and powerlifting movements and Olympic lifting movements, you know, we freak out, you know. And, you know, Annabelle and I are not saying that a 7-year-old should be snatching 150 pounds, but a 7-year-old should know how to snatch. That's all, you know, that's what we're saying here. And if you don't know how to do the movement, if you can't add some sort of weight to it, when they actually go through puberty and can actually put more weight onto the bar, they're not going to have the neuromuscular efficiency to actually do it. It's going to take some learning curve. They can do it, but it's just going to take a while. They won't be as fit compared to their peers who started earlier. So proper form, proper progression.
But then again, Cam, everybody's going to ask, but how do I even get my kids to start lifting? How do I get them active? How do I actually get them to the gym?
So that's a really good question. And while I don't have the experience in this yet, because my son is very young, here's what, you know, I would recommend and what I'm going to implement is work out as a family. And, you know, if you have a son or a daughter, you know, I'm speaking to dads now because I'm a dad, but you can put parents in for this. Doesn't matter. You know, your son's going to be working out with you. So that means you need to be setting the health and fitness standard. If you don't train and you expect them to train, they're going to think you're a hypocrite. So there has to be some level of, let's do this together. Like I remember growing up, my dad would work out in the living room and I wanted to work out with him. And of course, my dad didn't know, you know, about weightlifting and kids. So he thought it would, you know, hurt me and stuff like that. So he wouldn't let me work out with him, but I wanted to. You know, he was sitting there curling and doing pushups and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I want to do this. You know, if he was mowing the grass, I wanted to mow the grass. If he was doing this, I want to do this. So I would say, let them work out with you. You can scale it. If you don't know how to scale it, contact a local, you know, physical therapist, local coach, CrossFit coach, some sort of coach that, you know, has some experience in this, and ask them. So that's what I would say is, work out as a family. You need to be setting the health and fitness standards.
Maybe normalize it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes with a lot of these things, it just becomes like this big ordeal that you have to do. You like, it's make it part of your life, part of your family routine.
Yeah.
Make it something that you do on a daily, weekly basis, similar to other activities.
Right.
So, like family game night or what's watching movies together. It's just something that you guys do, going on hikes, similar to all those things. It's just, oh, we're exercising now.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Especially with like, well, I don't have time to work out and take care of my kid. It's like, well, that's exactly why you should be doing it with them. Take them to the gym with you. Do some calisthenics at your house. Buy a few dumbbells. Like, you can get a good workout in without having to go to the gym. So there's a bunch of different ways you can do this. But I would say maybe instead of Netflix, be active, go, you know, work out as a family, like as Annabelle said. And that's the route that I would go about it. Other than that, you know, I guess you could force your kid. I don't know, or not force them, but that's the route that I would go about.
Just try to make it fun.
Yeah. Make it fun. Lastly, but not least, is lastly even a word? Last but not least. I don't think lastly is a word.
Last but not least.
So here's kind of our overall recommendations based off what we've already talked about and kind of what I want to implement with my son. So here they are. 1 year old to 5 years old. I just want him to be physically active, playing outside, maybe get into gymnastics, climbing, jungle gym, you know, moving your body through space. Like, I want them to go outside and be.
You don't want him to be a vegetable.
Yeah, like, I don't want him sitting playing video games. I want him to be physically active outside, 1 to 5 years old. Usually, at least when I started, you know, organized sports was around 5 to 6 years old. And I would, you know, some people start earlier and I'm like, you probably just, I don't want to say wasting your money, but 5 or 6 years old is probably a proper time to, probably the proper time to start lifting weights, to start playing sports. So as soon as he starts playing sports around that 5 or 6 years old, I'm going to have him start doing some of these movements. I'm going to have him start doing some calisthenic movements, air squats, jump squats, bear crawls, inverted rows, pull-ups, you know, all that kind of stuff, any sort of calisthenic movement, because they're already moving their body through space anyway, which is basically calisthenics. I'm going to have him do some unweighted bench press and deadlift and squat. You know, we've got a bar, not an iron bar, but yeah, I got pipe.
Is it a pipe within a pipe?
Yeah, I got like an iron pipe in my garage that can mimic a barbell, and it's, you know, light, 5 pounds or less. He could be doing some of those movements just to learn the movement patterns. And like we kind of talked about earlier with like kind of progressing those things. I mean, maybe we get a training bar that's like 15 or 20 pounds, or, you know, what, who knows what will be out there on the market in a couple of years. Or just putting ankle weights around, you know, that pipe.
Yeah.
Moving to like, you know, unweighted snatch and jerks and power cleans and some more of those Olympic lifts. Just learning the movements. 5 to 6 years old. That's what I'll be doing with him. So
this message is for you, Jack, in 21 years.
If he listens in 20 years, I will, first of all, be shocked. I'll be happy that we're still podcasting. But oh, I'll be shocked.
We'll be podcasting then.
You probably won't think I'm cool in 20 years from now.
No, yeah. he'll listen to your music and everything you do. Like, oh, that's so old.
Dad's a loser.
That's old.
So when he gets to be 7+, so you're still pre-puberty. Puberty be probably being between the age of 8 to 9, up to 11 to 14. I don't know. It's a wide range of when your kid might go through puberty. That's when we're going to start with those light 50%, one rep max, high reps, all that kind of stuff. And each year until puberty, we're going to slowly start progressing through. Post-puberty is when we will really start to try and gain some more weight and size and strength, because they have the hormonal capability to adapt to the load and start to build muscle. Before that, all about learning the movements, potentially building some strength and endurance and stamina. But post-puberty is when we're really going to start to kind of go higher in that 85+ one rep max range.
Man, and you're building a great foundation for your child. So by the time they start adding a lot more weight, and they're going through puberty, filled with testosterone, if they're a guy, eating their protein, man, that weight on the bars is going to keep going up and up and up.
I know.
I just got excited thinking, like, man, could have been.
What could have been? So basically, he's going to work out with me, and I'm going to scale his workout to meet his age and his skill level, and it's that simple. So if you got anything out of that, work out with your kids, scale their workouts to meet their age and skill level, seek out a coach if you need help. And that's kind of all that I had in terms of content. Do you want to kind of recap everything, Animal?
Yeah. So you have to remember, serious strength and power is not going to come until puberty. And I know we mostly talked about athletes, but this also applies to just children in general. The earlier the start, the better they're going to be than their peers. And this not only applies to lifting weights, but honestly, everything else in life. Whether that's sports, whether that's... I just went blank completely playing instruments and a lot of the other things. So the sooner, the better.
Builds discipline.
It builds discipline. They're going to create better, not just habits, but yeah, habits too. And then technique. It's just going to help them overall. We're going to link an article in the show notes. It's titled the Training in Young Athletes, but the link is going to say Training in Young Athletes, but it's going to take you to the articles that we mentioned. Check them, read them. If you have any questions, definitely let us know. It's going to have the protocol that we mentioned. That way you can kind of read through it. And it's a little bit easier to follow that way anyways.
Yeah. Call to action. Get your kids to lift with you. Scale the workouts. Always prioritize form.
Always.
And slow progressions.
So, always, always, guys.
Yeah. You got anything else, Animal?
That's all I got for now. I'm done rambling.
Maybe one of your kids that you don't know about heard this.
Start lifting weights, kids. Remember? Send us off, Ken.
Remember that you are human and you should not seek perfection, but daily improvement. All right, see you guys.
See you guys.